look at verses 35 through 41. We made it down through verse 34 last Sunday. And as this chapter closes out, you have a story here about when the Lord Jesus Christ performed a miracle and calmed a very violent storm that he and the disciples were in. And so that's what we're going to be studying about here. And there's different things that I want us to key in on or focus on as we go through the verses. The first thing that I want us to really focus on is the storm itself. And there's certain characteristics or qualities of this storm that I want us to notice. But in verse 35 it says, "In the same day," which would be the same day as the events talked about in the preceding verses. "So that same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them," unto his disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And he's talking about them passing over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And it says in verse 36, "And when they had sent away the multitude," and if you look back at verse 1 of this chapter, you'll notice it says there in verse 1, "And he began again to teach by the seaside," and that's the Sea of Galilee, "and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea." So there is a great multitude of people, and as the even comes on, he sends away the multitude, sends them back to their homes. It says in verse 36, "They took him," that is, they took Jesus, "even as he was in the ship." And that's talking about the ship that he was sitting in whenever he was doing the teaching. If you look there again at verse 1, it says, "There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea." So he's been doing all this teaching from a little ship there in the sea. And of course, that's to give him some space between himself and the multitude. So they send away the multitude, and they take him in the same ship that he's been sitting in while doing this teaching, and they begin their journey across the sea. It says in verse 36, in the end of that verse, "And there were also with him other little ships." So there's not just the ship that he's in and his disciples, but there's other ships with other people as well. Verse 37, here is the storm. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." One thing that I want you to notice about this storm is that it was sudden. It was a sudden storm. When they started their journey, there was no storm in sight. It says in verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind." So they start out on their journey and no storm in sight, everything seems fine, but while they're going across the sea, seemingly out of nowhere, a storm arises. It comes up, and it's something that they have to deal with. And the reason why I point that out is because I feel like that's how it is oftentimes with the storms that we face in life. They just kind of blindside us. They come out of nowhere. We're going along, and we have what we would refer to as smooth sailing. Everything seems to be good and no problems. Everybody's healthy. All the bills are paid. Kids are doing fine. Wife's okay. Job's good. Everything just seems to be great. And then all of a sudden, we get blindsided by a storm. It just comes out of nowhere. It comes up with seemingly no warning whatsoever. But the thing is, we need to understand, as the Bible says, that storms are going to come. It says that we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try us. We don't need to think that it's some strange, weird, crazy, out of the ordinary thing when we encounter a storm, because the Bible has made it clear that we will face storms as we go through life. That's just reality. And you can do whatever you want to try to change that fact, but you're not going to change it. Storms are reality. And sometimes those storms are going to come suddenly without any warning whatsoever. But something else I noticed about this storm is that it was a severe storm. It says in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind. So it's not like, you know, a little breeze blowing here. This is some serious wind. It's a great storm of wind. Matthew's gospel refers to it as a tempest, which is a strong, violent, continuous wind. It's not a wind that just blows a little bit and then stops. A tempest is when it starts blowing and it keeps blowing. And that's the kind of storm that they're in. It comes up suddenly, and when it comes, it's very severe. It is so severe that the waves build and they build, and it says in verse 37 that they begin to beat into the ship. And if you've ever been out on the water and got caught in a storm, you understand that terminology, because the waves can get to crashing into your boat, and they come over the side and begin to fill the boat up with water. And nowadays, you know, we got so much fancy technology that unless it's really, really, really bad, you can kind of handle it when the waves begin to beat in the boat, because most boats, bass boats and such, today have bilge pumps in them. You know what I'm talking about? You just kick a button and it starts pumping water out of the thing. And unless it gets horrible to where the bilge pump can't keep up, it keeps the water pumped out. Y'all understand, they weren't in a boat that had a bilge pump. Their bilge pump was just bucket, whatever they could get hold of to get the water out of the boat. So this situation is really serious. It's not something to be taken lightly. The boat is literally filling up with water as they're traveling across the Sea of Galilee. So it's a sudden storm, and it's also a severe storm. And again, that's how storms are. And I believe there's different degrees, different levels of storms that we encounter. Sometimes we go through a storm and it's rather mild. And then other times we go through storms and they're pretty bad. In fact, some of them get real bad. And those are the ones that are the most difficult to handle, obviously. But we have those sudden storms. We have those severe storms that come. They're very hard. And they come in all shapes and sizes. And what I mean is it could be anything from a health issue to a financial problem to a family problem to a church problem. It could just be, it could come from any source, and it can come at any time, and it can get bad in a hurry, just like it did for the disciples. And one other thing I want you to notice about this storm is that it was a shared storm. It says back up in verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So you got the ship that Jesus and the disciples are in, but that's not the only ship there. You have other little ships. So that means that Jesus and his disciples are in the storm, and all of these other people in these other ships are in the storm as well. And the thing to remember about going through a storm is that there is either somebody at this point right now, somewhere in this world, going through the exact same type of storm that you are, or maybe one even worse than you are. The Bible says that the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world, and there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. When you go through a storm, there's other people in this world. Sometimes it's people that you know, maybe it's people you don't know, but the point is, you're not alone in dealing with a storm. In fact, we've said it many times before, you can look around and you don't have to look very far before you find somebody that's in a worse situation than you are. But we tend sometimes to get to mully grubs, you know, woe is me, and nobody understands, nobody knows what I'm going through, I'm the only one. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true. You're not the only one. You're not going through a storm now that somebody in this world at some point hadn't had to deal with themselves. There's somebody else that's had to deal with it, or there's somebody else that's dealing with it right now, even as you are. And again, you may not know the person, but I'm telling you, somewhere, somebody is dealing with it. And just like we mentioned this morning in our prayer time, our men's prayer time, if you want to get right down to it, every single individual in this world is dealing with something. Everybody. We've all got some kind of issue, something going on. And so you're not alone in the storm. And you need to take encouragement from that fact. Because if other people can go through the storm and make it, then guess what? You can go through the storm and make it. But it's a sudden storm. It's a severe storm, and it's shared. There's a lot of different people that are in this storm. But now I want you to notice something else. Not just the storm, but for the sake of alliteration, I'm going to say I want you to notice the saints, and I'm referring here about the disciples. How did the disciples respond to this storm that they encountered? And you have to keep in mind now that these disciples are simply doing what their Lord told them to do, right? In verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So them going to the other side was the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the point in that is that they didn't encounter this particular storm because of anything they did wrong. They're doing exactly what they were told to do by the Lord, and they wind up in a storm. Now, sometimes we get in a mess because we don't do what we're supposed to, right? Can you think of an individual in the Bible who wound up in a storm, a literal storm, because he disobeyed God? Jonah. He gets on that boat running from God, and it's not long before he finds himself right in the middle of a terrible storm. I think about some people in the book of Acts where Paul admonished them, you know, we need to stay where we are. We don't need to leave. But they wouldn't listen to Paul. They decided to sail out. And it wasn't long before they were met with a horrible storm. You remember that? So sometimes the storms we bring on. That's right. Peter talks about us not suffering as an evildoer. That's the issue with us sometimes. We bring the suffering on ourselves. We cause the storm sometimes because of our disobedience, because of our sin, or an unwillingness to do what the Lord says. But that's not how it is with all storms. And that's something to keep in mind, by the way, whenever you are observing somebody else that's in a storm. Because if you're not careful, you'll see other people in a storm and begin to cast judgment, at least in your mind, whether you verbalize it or not, you'll begin to cast judgment in your mind and think things like, well, I wonder what they did. Well, you know what they might have done? They might have just did exactly what God told them to do. They may not be in a storm because they did some horrible, gross, terrible sin. They might be right smack dab in the middle of God's will for their life having to deal with that storm. Because sometimes that's how it is. These disciples got on that boat and began the journey across the sea because that's what Jesus told them to do. So they're not in disobedience. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But how did they respond once they were in the storm? And this is important. And one thing I want to say that I notice here is that they were faulty. They were faulty in their thinking. If you look at verse 38, you'll notice it says there, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. Kind of like the back end of the ship, the hinder part. And I can't ever keep that. Y'all tell me, some of y'all that know about boats. I know the transom's the back there where you hang the motor. Is the front, the front's the bow, I know you call that. What is the stern? What is that? The what? The stern is the back. What do you call the front? Just the bow? That's it? Okay, well, there you have it. So I guess you could say from verse 38, he's in the stern. You know, he's in the hinder part. He's in the back of the ship talking about Jesus, asleep on a pillow. So the Lord's asleep. The disciples are not asleep, but he is. He's asleep. And they awake him. They awake him. And say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And that's why I say they're faulty in their thinking. Because they begin to think in their mind that he doesn't care if they die. Right? They wake him up. Don't you care? We're about to die out here. We're fixing to drown. And here you are sleeping. Don't you care? Because he was sleeping and they couldn't see him doing anything to protect their lives or to alter the situation, they begin to think in their mind, he don't care. He just doesn't care. And if you're not careful, when you get in a storm, if you pray and you pray and you pray and you don't see the Lord do anything to alter the situation, you know what you'll start doing? You'll let your feelings, you'll let your emotions, you'll let the devil play with your mind. And you'll begin to think stuff that's not in line with what the Bible says. And that's really what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you to thinking in a way that is contrary to the Scripture. He doesn't want you clinging on to the promises of God's Word because, hey, we all understand, or at least we should understand by now, that it's those promises that see us through those storms in life. So he wants to get our mind thinking in a way that's contrary to the Scripture. That's exactly what's going on here. And it'll happen in your life if you're not careful. If you don't see the Lord moving, if you can't tell that he's doing anything to change your storm or to fix the situation, you'll start thinking in a way that's wrong. You'll begin to think like them, he doesn't care about me. Now, is that in line with the Bible or is that not in line with the Bible? What does the Scripture say? Casting all your care upon him, for he, what is it? Careth for you. Now that's his promise in the Bible, right? He cares for me. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter the circumstances I'm in. It doesn't matter if everything's good or if everything is bad, if all hell's breaking loose in my life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he cared for me when everything was good, then that means he cares for me when everything's bad. And you have to cling to those promises and not let your mind begin to go in a direction that is contrary to the promises of God's Word. You've got to stay with the Scripture. But they get faulty in their thinking. And I suppose if we were all honest, we could probably admit that we've been there a time or two ourselves. Not thinking like we need to. Let it get the best of us. Well, I don't think that necessarily was the case. What I think is, well, there's probably a whole lot of things going on here. Yeah. But he's not asleep because he doesn't care. He's asleep because he's in control. He's in control of everything that's going on in this situation right here. But they're faulty in their thinking. Another thing I see about them is they're fearful. After they wake the Lord up and he gives his response to the wind and the sea, he looks at the disciples there in verse 40 and says unto them, why are ye so fearful? Why? It's kind of like he's amazed that they would be so full of fear. Fearful, it just means you're full of fear. And that's the thing. They're looking around and seeing these waves beating in, and here he is sleeping. They think he doesn't care, and they're scared to death. They're full of fear. And the Lord is like, why? Why are you so fear? He asked them a question. He doesn't just say, I recognize that you are full of fear. He asked them a question. Why? Are you so fearful? Why are you full of fear? And not only that, but notice he asked a second question. This is another thing I see, is that they were faithless. He says, how is it that ye have no faith? He doesn't say, I see you have no faith. He says, how is it? How is it that ye have no faith? In this particular situation, their faith had failed. When they got in the storm, their faith failed. And really, I think that is what caused the other two issues. The reason they were so full of fear is because they didn't have faith. And the reason they got faulty in their thinking is because they lost faith. But the Lord asked them these questions. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's kind of like he's thinking, look, haven't you seen all these miracles that I've performed already? Haven't you seen the things I've done? Haven't I always taken care of you guys? Have you ever lacked anything that you needed while you've been with me? Haven't I brought you through everything that you've ever had to go through before? Why are you so fearful? Why do you have no faith? And I don't know about you, but that's convicting to me. Because as you go through life, and some of us now have been saved for a number of years, and we've gone through lots of trials and tribulations and ups and downs, and through it all, as we are here today, we can look back and say that he's been faithful to take care of us. Amen? Amen. He's been faithful. We've not lacked the things that we've needed. He's brought us through every storm. It may have got rough along the way, but he's brought us through. And then, knowing that, we'll hit another storm, and we'll let our hearts get full of fear, and we'll lose faith and begin to think crazy things just like these disciples. And you know the Lord's just looking down saying, why? Why are you so fearful? Have you not learned anything? I think sometimes, Lord, you know, and I'm speaking tongue in cheek here because I know nothing amazes God, but I think the Lord is just amazed at us sometimes at how slow we are to learn what we need to learn. After seeing him do all that he's done, you would think that no matter what we go into, no matter what kind of storm we might encounter, after all that we've seen him do for us and all we've seen him do for others, you would think we would meet that storm head on with faith and confidence, knowing that he's going to take care of whatever it is we're going through. But we don't. We hit it with fear, with a lapse of faith, begin to think crazy things, thoughts that we know are not honoring to God, not honoring to the Bible. And he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Those of us that have been saved, I can understand, folks, I can understand somebody that's just gotten saved, you know what I mean? A babe in Christ. But I tell you what I've noticed, and this is a strange happening here, but I've noticed this. I've noticed that sometimes those people that have just got saved and put their faith in Christ respond better to storms and respond with more faith in storms than some of us that have been saved and living for God 20 years. That's strange, isn't it? Because the way it should be is we've been saved for a number of years. We've been walking with God, hopefully, and we've been seeing him take care of us and provide our needs and be everything we need him to be in all the situations of life. You would think that we'd get to the point where we could meet any storm without fear and without losing our faith. But many times we don't. We get full of fear because we have a lapse in faith. What I'm saying to you is these saints here, these disciples, really didn't handle this storm the right way. The one thing I see that they did right is in verse 38. And even that's marred by their attitude. But the one thing they did, you can say was right, when they were in this storm, is they went to the master. Now, when they went, they didn't go with the right attitude, and they didn't go with the kind of faith they needed, but they did go to him. They did go to the master and wake him up, because I believe they realized, hey, if there's anybody going to get us through this, it'll be him. We can't do it. And that's the right thing to do when you're in a storm, is just go to the master with it, knowing that he's the one that'll get you through. And that's the last thing I want us to look at here in this text, not only the storm and the saints, but I want us to look for a few minutes at the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing that I see about him is that he's trouble-free in the storm. He's trouble-free. Where's he at when the storm's going on? He's sleeping. He's in the back part of the ship, got him a pillow, taking him a nap. He's tired. That's his humanity I'm talking about here. He's tired. Why would he be tired? Well, he just spent the entire day ministering to people. Isn't that what he's done in the previous verses in this chapter? He's been ministering to a multitude throughout the entire day. He's tired. He's give out in his humanity. Okay, he's tired. So he says, hey, I'm going to take a nap. There's a storm. And he's asleep. He's trouble-free. The disciples are freaking out. Jesus taking a nap. Why is he trouble-free? Well, it's, again, not that he didn't care whether the disciples lived or died or whether or not something happened to him. He's trouble-free because he knows that he's in control. How many of you understand this morning that he's in control of whatever it is that's going on in your life right now? And by in control, what I mean is he's aware of everything that's happening right now. There's nothing going on in your life that has surprised him. You know, he's not like, wow, I didn't see that coming. He knew about it happening before he ever created you. He knows the end from the beginning, the Bible says. It wasn't like what's going on in your life now slipped up on God, caught him off guard. He's unaware. He is completely aware of everything that's going on, and he's in control. He knows what's happening in your life right now. Not only that, but he is fully aware that he is able to conquer this storm. Why can he lay down, put his head on a pillow? Because he knows that no matter what happens, he's in control, and number two, he can take care of it. Let the storm come. You have to, we, all of us, have to, through the scripture and just believing what God says, we have to create a bigger picture of God than what a lot of us have. I think we try to diminish the Lord and bring him down on our level sometimes. Folks, we're not talking about a God that's like us. We're talking about a God that's bigger than everything. We have to broaden our mind to where we get a bigger view of God and understand that no matter what the storm is, he can take care of that storm. Jesus knew that, so he's sleeping. And I see here not only is he trouble-free, but he's triumphant. They wake him up. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind. I like that. He rebuked it. To rebuke is, that's kind of strong language. That's like sort of scolding somebody, getting on to somebody for something that they're doing. But he gets up and he scolds the wind. He tells that wind what it needs to be told. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And look what happened. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He's triumphant. He was always triumphant. He always is triumphant. He's never lost, never failed at anything. Nothing. He always has the victory. But I notice a contrast. Verse 37 says, and there arose. Verse 39 says, he arose. And it says in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind. It says, he arose, rebuked the wind, said in the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See how the thing changed? It changed completely from how it was. The storm arises, so he gets up. It's a bad storm, great storm of wind. When he speaks, there's a great calm. It's like glass. And they make it safely to the other side. Look at verse 1 of the next chapter. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. As they were making their journey, there was some question in the disciples' mind as to whether or not they were going to make it. Got to looking pretty rough. But you have to remember, back up in verse 35, Jesus said, let us pass over on the other side. That's what he said, and that's what they did. They had some troubled waters along the way, but he got them through. And the good news is, if you belong to him, if he's on your ship, you're going to have some troubled waters along the way. And if I told you anything different than what I just said, you need to fire me and get you a different preacher. Any preacher that that tells you that you're going to have smooth sailing all your days after you get saved is a bald-faced liar that's just trying to get your money. That's all he is. The reality is that even after you get saved, even after he's on board, you're going to go through some rough seas from time to time. But isn't it good to know that as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is on the on board, that you're going to make it to the other side? It get rough. Water's going to get rough. But one day I'm going to wind up on heaven's shore, safe and sound. Everything's going to be fine. And the same is true for you if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's going to get you through and get you safely to the other side. The last verse of the previous chapter of chapter 4, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another. Now this is amazing. Now they're not afraid of the storm. Who are they afraid of now? They're afraid of the storm, but the storm's over. They're afraid of him. And listen, everybody ought to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Everybody. Even those of us who are saved. I don't mean fear like a fear to where you are afraid he's going to send you to hell or so fearful of him that you can't approach him as your father. That's not what I'm talking about, but you do need to have a healthy fear to where you respect him and honor him and realize what he can do at any moment if he so chooses. It says they feared him exceedingly, or he feared exceedingly, and said one to another. And I want you to look at this because it's what I'm going to deal with in the sermon in a little bit. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Any questions about what we looked at here today? Any questions?